Had an opportunity to be on mission trips. There's nothing like it. Obviously, it's apples and oranges compared to America. Been in the Philippines and had a situation where didn't do so good on the plane. You definitely do get this drag, you know, going. And I had one of these situations where I had a little kid kicking me in the back of the seat most of my trip to the Philippines. And I got there on Thursday, right before their visitation outreach program. And I could have used like 20 hours sleep. And they just wanted to send me right out to the visitation, you know. And I thought, I need a toothpick just to keep my eyes open, you know. So we saw a lot of folks come to know the Lord, though, because they are poor but rich in faith. And often we work in inner city. This week we did it again in Cleveland, talking to a lot of folks that are poor in spirit, poor in health, poor in wealth, poor in character, but they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope as we see the pastor, what he's doing, that we get refired up about the things of God as far as outreach. We'll get a glimpse here in 2 Timothy, the importance for all of us to be in a position where all opportunity to be missionaries where we're at for the cause of the Lord Jesus. One thing when I read the Bible is, especially getting on Revelation, is there's different churches with different tendencies. I know I like to read through the New Testament about once a month, and especially when I get in Ephesians, every chapter deals with the love of God, love, you know. And then 60 years later, when about that time, when John is writing Revelation, they had lost their first love. They're in Ephesus. That can happen to me, that can happen to you. And also it talks about the Corinth church in which Paul was involved in. They were a very carnal church. And all of us can get easily carnal in America today if we allow it to happen. Therefore, Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Then finally, the third one that's easy for all of us to fall into is the Laodicean church. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. There's many times where I feel I fall in that category. The Lord said, I'd rather spit you out of my mouth. So I'd rather be hot for the Lord. So help us indeed to take this to heart as we read this epistle to Timothy, this young preacher needing this counsel. And I'm an alliterator. In other words, most of my things start with the same letter. I even alliterate my shopping list because of my memory. So you're going to get a lot of P's today. You get S's today. So we're going to have S's this evening. It's going to be P-S, P in the morning, S in the evening. I'm talking about the letters, by the way. Okay, so I didn't mean to say that. Okay, so we're going to look at verse number one here. In chapter one, we see Paul had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Even though he was an apostle, he was a humble man. He said, I am unworthy. I'm the least of the least. And he said that, John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. This was Paul's attitude. But when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a personal relationship with him. You know what? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he is with you all the time. And he leaves us his spirit as well, which dwelleth in us, and he's with us forever. And I'm glad I have a personal Savior. And as when we're walking with the Lord and allow the Spirit of God to work in us, we have a personal relationship. You read David, Psalm 23, the word my comes up, Psalm 18, he's my Savior, he's my shepherd, he's my bulwark, he's my shield. You know, he's my everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have him, you have everything you need. And then we see, by the will of God, according to the promises of life, which is in Christ Jesus. He proclaimed, as he did the will of God, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He, in due season, saw the Lord Jesus in due season on the Damascus Road. And right from the get-go, he became an evangelist telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not apostles today because we had to visually see the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we can be witnesses for him. And when you read, at least you go through the book of Acts, and you see the actions of the Holy Spirit working through these people. What were they doing? They were leading people to Christ. They were witnesses. The first five chapters, you read it, look for the word witness. It's mentioned in every five chapters, all five chapters. We're there to sow the seed. You know, when I go out through the month, and we've been doing this for 41 years, going out in the streets of Cleveland and out in these areas, we're looking forward to being with you on July 19th. I think we had a good crowd here last time covering the streets of Talmadge, and we're planning to be here again. And pray for the seed falls on good ground. I don't know what good ground is out there, but we need to get it out there. You know, the more seed we sow out there, the more opportunities to reap. So he was a man that told people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do that as also. Then he talked the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And basically, he talks about Paul in his, he was given his autobiography in 2 Timothy, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The importance of being this kind of Christian, he is telling us that we need to be sanctified Christians coming out from among them. In chapter 7, in verse number 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to understand, when we want to walk with God, we need to have a clean heart. We're going to go into that in a pure conscience and so forth. But you know what? We can have that all the time. It's available to us. I know a lot of folks have had depression issues or whatever it is. I want to give you a couple of thoughts here. Is, you know, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. In me, there always could be something like that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is have the Lord search you and confess those sins unto him, because that blood of Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Another thing about the idea of confession is in follow doing good over evil. I have apps that Diane and I listen to. We have messages that we listen to. We have the Word of God going all the time. Even when I practice hitting golf shots in the park when I'm done visiting, and I'll have the Word of God going and listening to the Word of God. And then the music of God. You know, the quickest way to overcome depression is listening to music. I have instrumental hymns that I'll listen to, like Diana's music or whatever. But just listening to the hymns that we listened to this morning, and we'll do some more tonight, that'll lift your spirits quick. You know, I have an opportunity, and Diana plays the cello. I strum the guitar and listen to, do like a dozen hymns on my guitar or whatever. It lifts my spirits immediately, listening to the music of the Lord. And then the idea also in the cleansing ourselves, concentrated memorization. There's scriptures that you know will help you in trouble spots. Memorize those scriptures. Take them to heart. Concentrate on them. Matter of fact, as we get older, even if we visit a lady, her name is Oma Coulter. She has Alzheimer's disease, but she's had it for 12 years, but she never knew it. Because she concentrates on the Word of God. She loves the Word of God. She reads it. And you can regenerate cells even when you have Alzheimer's, when you have the right type of concentration. And then not only when we cleanse ourselves in concentration and confession, is a calling. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation. A calling. You all have a calling. Not ministers of retaliation, but ministers of reconciliation. People need to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. And we go out and we minister. We have around 60 families plus that we minister to every month. This church does not probably have 60 active families in it. But we minister to them and then work their neighborhoods. And it brings joy to your heart when you minister to the shut-ins, when you minister to the fatherless, minister to those that are lonely and isolated. You know, this church is a good church to go after isolated people. The Lord worked and reached an isolated people. And folks need that. They need that encouragement. They need Emmanuel Baptist Church. Let them know, someone knows that they care about their souls. So the idea is having these promises of God that we can confess our sins, then we can be ministers of reconciliation, because we're ambassadors of Christ. We always quote that promise, what Diane's dad's dying, the ambassador from the body is to be present with the Lord in 2 Corinthians 5. However, there are provisions in there. The Lord says, you know, we need to be ambassadors for Christ. We need to be telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm going to give an account to him for what I've done in this body, telling others about Christ. And so are you. Here in India, we have over 1 billion people there, and pastors teaching others to do the same where they're at as well. And we need not to let the Lord down or him down by doing the same. And that's why I put these Bible studies, and we have these different tracks back there that goes right along with these Bible studies. I'm training a young man now. I used to have a young Timothy club at Cleveland Baptist when I was a staff member there as a visitation director. And young boys would come in, and I'd train them how to win souls, disciple them, do follow-up calls, you know. Because when you're doing that, you get your mind off this world. Then we go out and play basketball or, you know, do these type of things, whatever. But the idea here is to tell others what Jesus has done for you. You know, we ought not to be ashamed to do that. And then in verse number 2, we'll concentrate on the peace of God, because when we have grace and mercy working of Christ in our heart, we're going to have peace with God. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Yeah. and then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works of righteousness, which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. In the other verse, in Titus 2:5, we're saved by his mercy. We're saved by his grace. We're supposed to be ministers of honor, ministers of mercy. You know, when I go out there, I want to be very compassionate. And I had an opportunity, got saved 53 years ago. When I was in the Navy, the man who led me to Christ, he changed completely. And he showed compassion and mercy towards me. We need to show that mercy. It might be in hospitality. It might be taking folks out to eat. I often have $5 gift certificates for policemen or firemen or people that are struggling in the projects. I had a project ministry back in 1980. And those folks are thieves or murderers. All kinds of things going on there in the projects. We had three project ministries that I preached at 9, 10:30, and at 12 o'clock on Sunday mornings, leading boys and girls to Christ because most of them don't have a father. Showing them mercy. And there's folks around you that need your mercy. Folks are suicidal for four reasons. They feel helplessness. They feel hopelessness. They feel a faintness of heart. They feel weariness of living. And we come alongside these folks. We give them help. We give them hope. We give them a reason to live. We can strengthen their heart. Amen?
Amen.
And I mean, all around us, we have folks like that. And you know what? You say, this person's bitter or whatever. Every person you look into their eyes is a person that Jesus Christ died for. It's a person that we can forgive. And we're talking about the workplace and different areas in Sunday school this morning. There's a lack of respect of authority at every level. When I was growing up, there was in the 50s, in the 1950s, we respected our fathers, we respected our mothers, we respected our pastors, we respected the policemen, we respected the politicians. That has all been blurred away. As a result, we have complete rebellion and defiance. But we still need to teach that and indoctrinate that into our children and grandparents, grandchildren. Now we go on over to the idea of having peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who's going to give peace. Lord Jesus, the peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then 16:33 in John, it says, he has overcome the world. We can have that peace that overcomes the world. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer for peace. Is trusting the Lord and at the same time being obedient. You know, as an older person, one thing I've maintained, I don't know why, is my teeth, you know. And I'm an erratic flosser. I don't. Maybe there's someone else like that. I try to stay in the flossing mode, but I'm not always a good flosser. And I brush my teeth, Diane will tell you, about three or four times a day. But I try to stay flossed. But you know what? I took that acronym and I thought that is a good acronym for living, too. As far as the Christian life, F in floss, you know, faith in the Lord, amen. L in floss, love the Lord. O, what do you think about the Lord? O, what do you think about it? What do you think? Obey the Lord. Then we have a couple S's, serve the Lord. Then the next one, sanctified in the Lord, you know, set apart and holy. And then E, evangelize, as I was mentioning, evangelize. And then D, discipleship. You want to get on the beam, look at that. Think of that floss thing, having faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Loving our Lord Jesus Christ and loving our fellow men. As I get older, and you see this couplet even here, faith and love. That's a whole ball of wax. Everything else is around it. If I put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love God, I love my fellow man, I'm in good shape. Amen, and you are too. And so the idea here, love is kind. Love is giving. Love is sacrificial. It's not lustful. It's not 50-50. It's 100% that you give to the other person, not expecting anything in return. So we have the peace of God, the grace and mercy of God. And then we look at the pure conscience, which I want to have continually. In verse number 3, I thank God whom I serve, my forefathers, with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. And he uses this word remembrance. He has these phrases. But you know, I need a pure conscience before God. When I'm in the Word of God and obedient to God, I need a pure mind and a pure conscience and a pure heart. And there's scriptures that you see, and we put a whole lesson together on purity. But I'd like you to look at chapter 2 there, verse number 22. He says to this young man, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here's the thing, is doing good over evil? Are we living in a lustful society? Yes, okay. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We haven't had a TV in our whole household in decades. You know why? Because if I watch it, I'm going to set a wicked thing before my eyes. Amen? How long do I have to wait? Maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Does that affect my mind? Yes. My eye affects my heart, you know. So the idea here is I want a pure conscience. And he says, here's what you do. You're going to follow righteousness, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow the right things to do. Follow the things that are the commandments of God, to love your fellow man, to be diligent in the things of God, in your faith, in your charity. You think of the Good Samaritan. Here's a good way to have a good, pure conscience. That Good Samaritan, after religious men went by that wounded a man left for dying, he came alongside them, alongside that man, and he first came to him, and then he cared for him. He had compassion for him. He showed charity to that dear man. He showed commitment to that man by getting a co-laborer involved. It's just bandaging Christianity. We need to encourage ourselves. I have a situation where 35 years ago, I oversaw a new converts class at Cleveland Baptist Church in the evening. And there was a gal named Gail that was 24 at the time, but she's not 24 now. She's going on 60. So the years do fly by. But anyway, through that one particular person, we got to know, I think, 5 households in that family. Her father were able to lead to Christ and whatever it is. And we have been integrated into their family, investing in their family. Her mother is now 91. She's like my second mother. Integrate yourself in the people's lives. They need us. We need to love them just like the Good Samaritan did. Amen. I mean, this Good Samaritan was looked down upon, but we need to have that channeling in our hearts and in our lives as well. We need in our conscience is to be concentrated perfect holiness. We talk about holiness, the word of God abiding in our heart. Our worship, not only in the church, but our worship should not be just coming to the church. It should be a carryover in our personal life. As we come on, and Diana and I pray everywhere. We live in Cleveland. We pray when we leave the driveway, okay? And by God's mercy and grace, we haven't had an accident in 18 years in this ministry. And it is a miracle, you know. And I have all these folks. I have a guy tailgating me this morning. You have people texting. You have people drunk. You have people on drugs. You have people that don't know how to drive. You have people that are late to work and they're going to blame you and all these kind of other things. And so we just have learned to just put our hands in the Lord's hands, even get here. We had terrible rain coming here. I was praying on the way that we were hydroplaning, but God is good. Pray your way through all, when you're at work. Pray for your workplace. Say you have hostility in your workplace. We were at Faith Community Baptist Church, and basically this lady had a terrible workplace. Maybe you do too. She decided to get up 20 minutes earlier and pray for every employee and employer of her workplace. And God changed the attitude of that workplace. Amen. You know, we have 504 20-minute sections in a week, 168 hours in a whole week. And there's 20 minutes, 504 sessions. Obviously, we sleep some. But, hey, maybe we can reinvest 20 minutes running out a couple of cards. One of our friends, Miss Hattie, just died the other day. And she's 91. She rolled out cards to preachers' wives. She made lap afghans for over 1,000 people over her lifetime. I mean, when it's over her hands, do it with all I might. Say, when I'm getting old, one of the dear ladies was put in a nursing home. She says, I'm not going to be down about this. I'm going to write letters to missionaries. That's going to be my ministry. I had one lady that was put in a nursing home, and basically she couldn't talk because she had a stroke. I might have shared this with you before. Sophie, she was a cleaner in our auditorium at Cleveland Baptist, took prayer requests, and she could say one word, though. She could say, save. And she would tell me, you know, when I visited her for 3 years in a nursing home, she'd relay to me that she was praying for certain folks. She'd go, save. That means go talk to that lady, you know. And over a period of 3 years, we were able to lead 8 people to Christ. So she made the best out of what her situation was in her area there. So the idea is the word of God, the worship of God, the work of God, to persuade men. We're here to persuade men. And then moving along, we want our prayers going in the right direction here in verse number 3 here. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 3. I have remembrance of thee, in the last part, in my prayers night and day. Let me give you an idea here as we can pray for people. If you remember the acronym ACTS, sometimes we have a scenario where we get prayer block. The acronym ACTS will help us. When we pray A, you know, A stands for adoration and praise for our Lord. Adoration and praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know. Then C, confess our sins. Confess our sins unto the Lord. You know. Then T, thankfulness. Be thankful unto the Lord. Then S, supplying our needs. Sometimes we just jump into supplying our needs, you know. And so the idea here is to be fervent in our prayer life. And moving right along here, the verse number 4 and 5, we're going to look at the aspect of preparation of a parent that was prepared and a grandparent that was prepared to teach your son and grandson the things of God. It says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was dwelt also in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So he was persuaded that this man had a pedigree of a mother and a grandma, a Grecian background, that taught this boy how to walk with the Lord. Even as a child, it says, he learned the Holy Scriptures. I don't care, you know, as we get older, maybe they're not under our authority all the time, but they're under our influence. As grandparents, they're under our influence. Use that influence for the glory of God. And we want to do that. So then we want the power of God in our life, and I'll go into that in verses 5 through 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We have great power when we give out the gospel. We have the power of the gospel. We have the power of the blood of Christ that cleansed people from all their sins. The power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We have the power of prayer we had just mentioned. When I was in the Philippines, I remember we saw about 48 folks walk the aisle. Adults walk the aisle on Sunday morning after they were saved through the week. I mean, things are different there, but they were going out every day of the week. On Saturday, they started in the morning and went out the evening, different teams, telling folks about the Christ, the Lord Jesus. They were diligent and they were desperate to see folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power of our testimony. And often when I'm out visiting, I tell folks how I got saved. It wasn't in a church environment. I got saved in the Navy. You know, give your testimony. We put this out here, make it simple for you. We have these lessons back here so you can use these lessons to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have great power when we go out there. The power of the cross. All this power we have available to us. So we have, Paul had a personal relationship. He proclaimed the gospel. He had the promises of life. He had peace with God. He had a pure conscience and heart. He prayed for these different issues, including Timothy. There was a preparation from a grandparent and a mom and dad, mom there. The power of God. Now the purposes of God in 9 through 11. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So there's a purpose here. It's a holy calling. You know, when I lead folks to Christ, and maybe you do too, I go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. That designs my purpose. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy vessel unto God. I'm not a holy acceptable one to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we have a holy, sanctified person, a person that is serving the Lord, a person that is going to be proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. God is not willing that any should perish. That's his will. We're part of his will. It says we are supposed to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, each and every one of us, whatever it takes to get desperate about the folks about us. I was a first-generation Christian. I had to witness to my, it wasn't easy, my mother and my father and my brothers and my aunts and my uncles. I led many of them to Christ. It wasn't always easy, but for many years, it took time to see them one by one coming to know the Lord as their Savior. It's worth it. So the purposes of God. And then the persuasion that God can keep us. In verses 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know that I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep them which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form doctrine, a form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I just look at verse 12 there. He is able to keep which we have committed to him against that day. You know, I'm glad I don't hold on to the Lord Jesus' hand. He holds on to my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, Jesus said. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and I will hold them. You know, I will take them by the hand. I will hold them. And basically, I want to tell you this. In those days that we live, we need the Lord close to us. We need to be consecrated in the things of God, being close to the Lord Jesus. You know what I think is important as we look at, in closing here, when Jesus had James and John, and Mom talking to James and John, what did they want to be? They wanted to be close to Jesus. One wanted to sit on the left hand and one wanted to sit on the right hand. You know, you say, well, people ask me, are you doing this to get to heaven? You know what, though? I'm doing this for rewards. There's rewards in heaven, you know. Not everybody's going to be on the same plateau here. You know, I want to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we reward people in Sunday school. My wife does stuff with the pastor's kids, you know, to reward them for doing right. They get gummy bears, you know. And so I give up the gummy bears for the children, you know. But there are rewards in heaven as we serve the Lord. One of the rewards I want to have is I want to be close to the Lord. I don't want to be out there in the bleacher seats. I want to be close to the Lord, knowing him and loving him and even suffering for him. And so we look at this epistle to this young man. How does it apply to you? And how does it apply to me? How is it working as far as our prayer life is concerned? Our personal relationship with the Lord? About the power of God in our life? Fulfilling the purposes of God in your life? Are we doing those things that please the Lord? And I want you just to contemplate. Maybe there's areas in which we have fallen short. Maybe someone here has not trusted Christ as their Savior. You're a woman, my wife, or Leah might be glad to talk to you about the Lord, or I would. But let's have everyone stand. Just meditate. Where do we fall short? Where do we need to be strengthened? The Lord is here to strengthen us. As we look in Paul's epitaph here, Paul's very last words, how does that affect you and me? Hey, I have a friend next door. He may die. Miss Hattie died 3 days ago. But she had an epitaph. She loved people. She was out there in the streets when she was in her 80s telling people about Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time for us to get a burning fire and rekindle by reaching the lost, as our pastor here is as well. So as the Lord leads you and you're willing to bow your knee and humble yourself before God and be honest and say, Lord, help me to be what I need to be. Just like Paul worked through Timothy, may he work through me as well. Father, I pray for this invitation now, and may you just work in the hearts and minds of folks, Lord, for us to go to higher ground, to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, whatever it might be. And these purposes you have for us, Lord, to please you in our life, Lord, not to be lukewarm Christians, not to be carnal Christians, not to lose our first love, but maybe be revitalized. Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts. Someone doesn't know Christ today, may this be their saving day. Precious name of Jesus, amen. Hey, maybe you want to come forth, even pray for the past, but just come forth and just maybe you haven't bowed your knee for a long time, but to ask God to do his purposes in your life.